Exodus chapter 11. By this time, 9 plagues have been afflicted upon the people of Egypt. Each plague was a direct insult upon a specific god of the Egyptians to show them that there was only one true God, and that when that God tells you to set my people free, it's going to happen. Now, verse 1 of chapter 11 says, "Now the Lord said to Moses, 'One more plague I bring on Pharaoh and on Egypt, and after that he will let you go from here. And when he lets you go, he will surely drive you out from here completely. The 10th and final plague will be the culmination and fullness of the Lord's expression of justice and judgment on the land of Egypt. Because of Pharaoh's obstinance, an immense price will be paid by the entire land. God told Moses, there will be a cry in the land like there has never been before and there will ever be again. From the firstborn on the throne to the servant girl at the millstone to the cattle in the field, the Lord God of Israel will take the life of the firstborn of the entire land.'" Then in Exodus chapter 12, we see there that the Lord instructs Moses and the people, and this is paraphrased, that this time is a time for a fresh start for you. When you leave the land and you become my people, you will be free. But I want you to remember this moment from here forward. This will be the first month of your year, and this month you will hold a feast consisting of unleavened bread and the firstborn lamb without blemish. You shall cook it in this way, and you shall take its blood and apply it to your doorpost and to the lintel as a sign. When I come through the land, I will spare your firstborn. Thus the Lord instituted what was known as the Passover feast as an annual remembrance of how he brought them out from bondage and slavery so they wouldn't forget what the Lord did for them. Fast forward now some 1,400 and some odd years into Israel's future. In John chapter 8, Jesus was speaking to some Jews there. In verse 31, he says, "Therefore, saying to some Jews who had believed in him, 'If you abide in my word, then you shall truly be disciples of mine, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.' And they answered him, 'We are Abraham's offspring and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is that you say, you shall become free?' Jesus answered them and said, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. And the slave does not remain in the house forever. The son does remain forever. If therefore the son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And I know you are Abraham's offsprings, yet you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak the things which I have seen with my father. Therefore you also do the things which you have heard from your father.'" As Jesus continues to speak with him there, let's fast forward to jump ahead to verse 51 as the conversation continues. Jesus again tells them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death." And Jesus said to him, "Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died and the prophets also, and you say, 'If anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death.' Surely you are not greater than our father Abraham, who died, and the prophets died too, whom you make yourself out to be." Jesus answered and said, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say, 'He is our God.' And you have not come to know him, but I know him. And if I say I do not know him, then I shall be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. And the Jews therefore said to him, 'You are not yet 50 years old. You have seen Abraham?' Jesus said to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am.' Therefore they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple." These are God's people. Do we understand the magnitude and the audacity of this conversation and this encounter Jesus had with the Jews? The people who God instituted the entire feast based upon their freedom from slavery out of the land of Egypt, and they dare to stand there and look him in the face and say, "We have not been slaves to anyone." They stand there and look the Creator in the face, the Son of God, the firstborn of creation, the messenger who spoke to Moses in the burning bush, the afflicter of Egypt, the deliverer of God's people, and they tell him, "We have never been slaves to anyone." Yet are we so different today? This morning, we come here to celebrate a different feast, very similar in some regards. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we'll read Paul's account here to the Corinthian church. "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread." Jesus here meeting with his disciples in the upper room. I believe it was no coincidence that this would be the last Passover of the Old Testament, of the Old Dispensation. But Jesus here, when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." We see here Jesus instituted another feast to take the place of the Passover. Like I said, had similar regards to the first one, but this one has a lot more spiritual significance than the first. The first feast was to remember their freedom that God's people were brought out of the land. This one likewise does the same thing. But we're told in Galatians, "It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery." During that 10th plague on the land of Egypt, an immense price was paid. The firstborn of the land was killed. Jesus here instituted this meal to commemorate an immense price that was paid. Not the firstborn of the land, but the firstborn of God would be slain so that we might have freedom. And as God's people so quickly forgot, we're instructed here in verse 26, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." Let's be not like the people of Jesus' day and forget, but let's partake of these emblems today so that we will never forget, and we will always remember the freedom that Christ brought about on that cross for us. Our Father and gracious Lord, we cannot thank you enough for this time that you have presented to us, that you know us better than we know ourselves, that if we would not share in these emblems, Lord, as you have instructed us, that these things would fade from our minds, Lord, that we would forget about the sacrifice, Lord, that you sent your only begotten Son, the blameless Son of God, to that cross to become sin, to become our sin for our benefit, Lord. And just please, Lord God, as we partake of these emblems, which represent your body and your blood, that we will do so in a worthy manner, and that we will do so to remember and proclaim the Lord's death until he decides to come back again. Please, Lord God, forgive us for when we sin and fall short. And please, Lord, help us to remain free from those bonds of sin and of slavery, which is your desire for us. We thank you, God, so much for everything you've done for us. We thank you for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen.